page 52. Advocacy 101, Lecture 3, Advocating for Access, by Frank Welty. I believe CCB will only succeed in improving life for blind and visually impaired Californians if we mobilize our members throughout the state to advocate on behalf of our community. This column is designed to provide our members and chapters with the tools they need to become more effective advocates. The Spring 2010 Joint Convention Session of the CCB Committee on Access and Transportation and of the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision featured a highly informative panel presentation on advocacy issues. The presenters were Lainey Feingold, Margie Donovan, Kim Charlson, and Brian Charlson. The recommendations listed below were taken from that presentation. The audio recording of this program is available on the CCB website. That website is ccbnet.org/conventionarchives.htm. Find the heading for April 16, 2010, and select the link to listen to or to download the joint CAT and CCLV session. Through our history, the California Council of the Blind has advocated successfully to improve conditions for blind and visually impaired Californians. In the past decade or so, we've successfully participated in structured negotiations to address access issues in a variety of situations. Our work has made automated teller machines and retail point-of-sale terminals accessible to blind and visually impaired consumers. Page 53. Various commercial websites are now more accessible to people who use screen reading software. We now have better access to credit reports, bank statements, and utility bills in accessible formats. And the city of San Francisco now has over 100 intersections equipped with accessible pedestrian signals. We have rightly recognized the work of our attorneys in achieving these outcomes. However, the vital role played by individual advocates is not as well known. Each of us can advocate for greater access. Here are steps you need to take to make your advocacy a success. Identify an access barrier that you feel strongly about. Commit yourself to working to remove that barrier and find others who share your concerns and are willing to help. Brian Charlson is an avid fan of the Boston Red Sox baseball team. He learned that while Boston's venerable baseball stadium, Fenway Park, had accommodations for wheelchairs, there were no such considerations for guide dog users. Brian made up his mind to do something about this problem. Now, as a result of his efforts, Boston baseball fans and their guide dogs are more welcome in their local ballpark. What's more, the relationships that Brian established with Red Sox officials put him in a better position to advocate when he and other visually impaired baseball fans took up the cause of making the Major League Baseball website more accessible. Margie Donovan and others weren't satisfied with their lack of access to bank ATMs. The efforts of these individuals to solve this problem laid the groundwork for the structured negotiations that have resulted in the thousands of accessible ATMs that can now be found throughout the United States. Advocacy begins with education. Learn your access rights. If you don't know much about the Americans with Disabilities Act or the Air Carriers Access Act, and you don't know what it means when people talk about things like Section 255 or Section 508, start educating yourself about these laws. Page 54. If you don't know about the technologies that can make our environment and various sources of information more accessible, seek opportunities to try out these new products. The more you know, the better advocate you can be. Education goes two ways. When you encounter an access barrier, think of it as an opportunity to educate those with whom you do business about access issues. For example, if you go to a store where you can't comfortably use your ATM card because the point-of-sale terminal at the checkout counter has a touchscreen and no keypad, so you can't punch in your own PIN number, let it be an opportunity for you to nicely explain to the cashier that this is a problem and that California law requires stores to include accessible keypads on their POS terminals. Most of the time, the first person you talk to will be in no position to solve your problem, so cheerfully ask to explain your dilemma to a supervisor. Then, patiently and persistently, work your way up the chain of command until you get in touch with someone who has the power to fix the problem. If you need to communicate in writing and don't feel confident composing an appropriate letter, feel free to ask me to help you write it. Once you've started your advocacy, carefully keep records of your activities. If you're dealing with a particular retail establishment, save sales receipts so you can prove that you are a loyal customer. Keep a log of your contacts, including dates, times, the name of the person you talked with, and the outcome of the conversation. Save copies of correspondence, including email messages. These records are particularly important once you get up to the corporate level. Page 55. All advocacy requires follow-up, so be politely persistent. It will be your responsibility to follow through on complaints. After making your first complaint, give your contact person a little time to respond to you, but don't wait any more than a month before you make a follow-up contact. Then continue to regularly communicate with the company until you've resolved your problem. Don't let your emotions control your behavior. Angry outbursts and other rash actions won't help your cause. As you are working with the company to find a solution to your access problem, remember that you're not advocating just for yourself. Try to take the needs of others into account. While one particular solution may work for you, it may not work for other people with disabilities. Try to think of what would help someone who is totally blind, someone with low vision, someone with difficulty hearing, someone with limited hand dexterity, and so on. This can best be accomplished by getting people with a variety of disabilities involved in your negotiations. Find others who share your concerns and passion and enlist them in your campaign. The more you can involve other advocates in your project, the louder your voice and the stronger your advocating position will be. Seek out someone in the company who can champion your cause. At some point in this process, you'll know if it's time to bring in a disability rights lawyer. Your personal advocacy activities are necessary to lay the groundwork for any legal action. You may have to make several contacts with the lawyer to get him or her to take up your case. Again, be politely persistent. CCB has worked with our attorneys, Lainey Feingold and Linda Dardarian, on many successful structured negotiations. You can contact Lainey by email at lf@lflegal.com, and her website is lflegal.com. You can call Linda at 800-822-5000. Page 56. Once the lawyer has taken on the case, you must stop all direct contact with the company involved in your dispute. Let your attorney handle the problem. Give your attorney copies of all your documentation and forward all correspondence from the company to the lawyer. During the negotiation process, you must be available to the lawyer as a resource. Be available to demonstrate your problem and test possible solutions. The process takes time. For example, it has taken an average of from 1 to 2 years from the time that a person has begun trying to get accessible POS terminals installed in a particular store until the store chain has finally put in the terminals. After the settlement, you will probably be called upon as a subject matter expert to help monitor the company's compliance with the settlement's terms. Finally, once the problem has been settled and a new level of accessibility has been achieved, it is important for all of us in the blind community to take advantage of that access to justify its existence. Also, when we encounter companies that do things right, make it a point to thank them for the good things they do. If you'd like to learn more about the subjects discussed above, feel free to call me at the CCB office or send me an email at frank.welte@ccbnet.org. Also, I send regular email bulletins to interested advocates. Let me know if you'd like to receive these bulletins.